Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to the Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare.
Well, today we're talking about flu season. Nothing to sneeze at. I came up with that title.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You didn't seem to be too thrilled about it.
It's fun. You have to have a little fun.
You gotta have a little bit of fun. I think so. I liked it. Nothing to sneeze at.
Well, 'tis the season. Flu season.
It is.
October.
October. Yeah, October's the time of the season that you need to be thinking about the flu. And October to March is the northern hemisphere flu season. And then the southern hemisphere flu season is just the opposite.
Ah. So October to March.
October to March.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Dr. Prather, what is influenza or the flu?
Well, the influenza is a viral infection that is extremely contagious. And it's an upper respiratory. So when you get the flu, it's something that can, you know, basically you breathe it in is mainly how that works. And it can get into the system and travel through. And the viruses are really interesting. Do you know how viruses work?
No.
Okay. Viruses come up and they're kind of shaped like interesting little spaceships. With little holes, you know, with little punchers. So they come up, land on your cell, punch into the cell wall, and then extrude the DNA or RNA into the cell, and they go to the replicating, where we make our proteins, enzymes, and make our RNA and DNA. And they go up to them, and then they start to reproduce their own genetic material. On our genetic material.
Wow.
And then when they fill up the cell, they explode the cell, and then they all go to another cell and do the same thing.
And they look like little spaceships.
They look
Are
like
they
little
aliens?
Spaceships. Yeah, it seems like. Well, interestingly enough, the viruses can travel through space. They can live on the surface of the sun.
Huh. Viruses.
Viruses can. Matter of fact, one of the theories of evolution on Earth is that the life came from viruses that landed on the Earth from space and then started the whole life process.
Huh.
Crazy, huh?
Uh-huh.
But that's one of the theories along those lines. But viruses can travel through space. And basically be immortal. Kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah, huh? It is crazy stuff. But they are active.
They are very active.
So what are the signs and symptoms of flu?
Well, flu is an interesting type of a organism. We had talked about that it's airborne. So it can travel quite a ways, and you breathe it in. You can either take it in through the nose, the mouth, or the eyes is another way that that can enter into the system. Then it goes and causes some sinus problems, so it causes nasal congestion, runny nose, those types of things. It can then get into the down into the lungs, and it gets into the lungs. It causes a cough. Fever, of course, is one of the main types of symptoms along those lines. Achiness, and some of the things that kind of distinguish it is you get a sort of like an ache throughout the entire body. You know, that flu ache type of thing is kind of a distinguishing type of thing. So fever, upper respiratory types of signs, cough. Sometimes, and mainly in children, it can cause diarrhea and stomach problems, too.
So what is the difference? Because I think people get confused between a cold and the flu.
Yeah, and they're both upper respiratory, so they cause some of the same symptoms. The biggest thing that how you can distinguish between a cold and a flu is a cold kind of comes on gradually. You know, I got a little bit of sniffles, and then, you know, it progresses, and I get a little bit worse and a little bit worse. and then you can develop some fever. But a flu kind of hits like a Mack truck.
You know, like you've been hit by a Mack truck.
It feels, and it occurs quickly. Colds come up on gradually. Mm-hmm. Flu, it's like, I was fine yesterday and I woke up today and it's like, oh my gosh, what happened? Mm-hmm. You know, I feel awful. So that really quick type of a symptom is one of the main things that shows up on the flu as opposed to the cold. And the cold can actually be a lot of different types of viruses mm-hmm. that can be involved in that. And there are other viruses that can be involved. So trying to distinguish that is one of the, big things that your doctor should try to do, distinguish exactly which one you've got.
Right. So what period is it when people are contagious?
People have contagion. When you first get the flu, mm-hmm. okay? Now, interestingly enough, the flu is carried by water droplets. Mm-hmm. So if someone sneezes and you breathe in, that's when you can kind of catch it. Mm-hmm. It can be as much as 20 feet away.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Uh-huh. So if you see somebody sneeze, that's why it's real important to kind of cover up. Mm-hmm. And then that in about 20 feet, those water droplets kind of spread. It's really quite a... And they go out in a wide circle. Uh-huh. So it can land on a doorknob. And if you go up there and touch the doorknob and you get some water droplets with the virus on it, mm-hmm. turn the doorknob, and then your eye itches, and you go up there and scratch your eye, you can get the flu. Mm-hmm. Or if someone goes along and might sneeze or something like that on a handrail or in the bathroom, mm-hmm. and it's along there. So just picking it up on your hands, and it can actually stay in the air for a couple of days. Wow. After a sneeze. So that's why airplanes are quite interesting. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. you don't really air it out, so those water droplets are just kind of floating along in there.
Yeah.
The more people that you have in an area, the more likely you are to pick it up.
You think in offices where people work?
Offices. Big
elevators.
You know, big concerts, sporting events, mm-hmm. all those types of things. Church mm-hmm. Is a real big type of area. So, you know, all those enclosed types of areas are a big area where the flu can really just kind of spread around quickly. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, one of the things when they had big pandemics, one of the ways that they cancel all type of big meetings. In other words, any group larger than 10, they discourage you from getting it because the more people that are in an area, the more possibility there is the flu, and the more possibility you have of one person sneezing and then it spreads through the entire
group. Well, and that's why it's so important to have a strong immune system, right?
It is.
Because you can fight that with a strong immune system.
Right.
And,
yes.
You know, we're not going to isolate ourselves.
Well, a pandemic, it is best to kind of avoid
right.
those types of things.
Right,
you know,
right.
If things are going on. But yes, it is something to, you know, to know when you're... And of course, that's why whenever, you know, at the airports or different types of things you see over in the Orient, people wearing those masks mm-hmm. to prevent from breathing it in, because if you can prevent that, and those are actually pretty effective. Mm-hmm. But once you catch the flu, it can incubate. Usually, it's the next day that you kind of kick off with it, but it can be as many as 4 to 5 days later from the first exposure that you start to develop the signs and symptoms. So you catch that, and even before you have the symptoms, you can be contagious mm-hmm. and not even know that you're sick. So, you know, that's one of the problems with the flu is that, of course, if you're sick, you're supposed to stay home with the flu, because then if you don't, you go around and you cough or you sneeze.
You're just spreading it.
And you're just spreading it and making everybody else sick. So people, you know, staying home during that time is really important. But then you are actually, you're most contagious up to 4 days after you start the fever. When you start the fever... And 4 days after that, that's when you are the most contagious. And then it kind of drops off usually after that. But if you have a weakened immune system and you really carry it, you can be contagious the entire time that you carry mm-hmm. it. most people are under control, and most of the flus are resolved in about 5 days. If you're a little bit weaker, 7 days, and if you've got the flu for 2 weeks, you need to see a doctor, because that's going a little bit too long. But those first...
you can have other complications.
You can have other complications that are going on. The longer you have it, the more of a problem you have. Mm-hmm. So trying to get that under control as quickly as possible is one of the most important things. But you can't even be contagious before you even know that you have the flu.
Right. Right.
So, something to keep in mind.
What are the complications of flu?
Well, the complications of flu is that if it gets down into the lungs and you start to get some fluid buildup because you're having cell destruction. Remember how I described the flu? And if you're having some cell destruction, your possibilities of getting secondary infections are really, really high. And it's those secondary infections, the bacterial infections that come in into the lungs, because it gives that opportunity, that really cause the problems for the majority of people. Mm-hmm. That's when it becomes life-threatening.
That's secondary, the bacteria.
And the bacterial infections.
Pneumonia.
The pneumonia, those types of things. And if you have already a compromised immune system, lung problems, those are all different types of precursors that you need to be aware of.
Okay. We come back more on the flu.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Well, what is the Gallup report?
The first ever annual report on people's awareness of chiropractic. The Gallup system has never really done a survey on actual chiropractic to find out where people are with chiropractic, their understanding.
So what did they find out? How do people view chiropractic?
About 14% of the population on a yearly basis use chiropractors. Mm-hmm. About 50% of all adults have been to a chiropractic, and they have a very positive view of chiropractic. We have the highest satisfaction rate of any healthcare professional.
Mm. Interesting.
With the people who've actually visited us.
Mm-hmm. And experienced it.
And experienced it.
People have a lot of opinion that haven't even gone to one.
Right, and have no idea what it is. Uh-huh. So when they ask people who had not been to a chiropractor, the other 50%, of those 25% said chiropractic they considered was dangerous. Uh-huh. Have you had any experience with chiropractic? No.
Interesting.
The other group was like, I'm not really quite sure. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of misconception on that, you know, on what's actually going on. And there's a lot of opinions that really don't hold water. You know, one of the things that keeps people away from chiropractic is it safe? Is this a safe modality? And even a lot of professionals aren't aware of the facts that's associated with that. But according to an independent group called the insurance company, which does, if you are in the insurance business, you know that they are extremely thorough because they're talking about their money. Chiropractic malpractice has the lowest rates of any healthcare professional. Nurses have a higher malpractice rate. Dental assistants have a higher malpractice rate. My medical assistant has a higher malpractice rate than I do. Uh-huh. So, you know, the thought patterns on that chiropractic is dangerous. It is actually the least dangerous of all the healthcare systems out there. Mm-hmm. The research is just, you know, overwhelming on the benefit of chiropractic.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
Ah! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Nothing to sneeze at, the flu season. And we're talking about the flu season. It is October, the end of October. And you said the flu season goes in the Northern Hemisphere from October to March.
Right.
Quite a long time. Dr. Prather, who is at most risk from the flu?
They talk about the basically people who are have a weakened immune system. So kids don't have a strong immune system, so they're at higher risk than the average person. So looking at young children, basically starting at age 5, making sure that that they're well covered on things. Older people, especially 65 and older, have usually more of a weakened immune system, so they're more at risk. Anybody who has any chronic pulmonary conditions, including asthma, also any other different types of weakness, if you have kidney disease or liver disease or cardiovascular issues, all become an issue. Anyone who is immune compromised, either from immune-compromised infections or from medications that they're taking, especially cancer patients, have a very weakened immune system, something that they need to be really aware of. Women who are going to become pregnant or are pregnant are more at risk. Any children that's taking any type of aspirin or salicylate, types of medications are more at risk, because if they get the flu, get a fever, then their chances of getting the Reye syndrome is pretty high. Nursing homes and hospitals are very dangerous places to be. Doctor's offices, you need to be aware, especially in pediatric offices. That's a risky place. So any type of health professionals, because they have a higher exposure. People who are working in nursing homes, people who work in hospitals, need to be really aware. American Indians and Native Alaskans, they do not have the, because their ancestry did not get the same types of flus that we did. It was mainly a old world, so it was more in the Eurasian continent that the flu was kind of incubated. So
we brought it over.
So the Native Americans, American Indians, and Native Alaskans do not have the same immune system that people from Europe and Asia have. So those are big. And then also obesity. Obesity is a high risk along those lines.
Why is that?
When you are obese, you are more at risk for everything, and you have a compromised immune system. When you have too much fat on your system, it changes the physiology of the system, throws off the homeostasis, and one of the things that occurs is your immune system is not at the same level. So, you know, there's a lot of things that occur with that, but also immune compromise if you are overweight. So another good reason to lose weight, if you smoke, you are more at risk. You know, all those types of things.
Right. So how is the flu diagnosed?
The flu, what you do is you go into your doctor's office, and really if you get something, you know, that's a real hard, if you're suspicious that you have the flu, it's best to go into your doctor's office right away. And get that checked. And what they do is they do a swab of the nasal cavity and in the throat. And you can do a quick check where you can just get it in just a few minutes and check and see if you have that. Now, if it is positive, you definitely have the flu. If it isn't positive, you still have a 40% chance of having the flu.
40% chance.
Yeah, so it's so if it does show up positive, then yes. But if the doctor's still suspicious and wants to confirm it, then they send the swab into the lab, and then they do that in a much more accurate type of way. Mm-hmm. So if you especially if you have any type of those precursors, it's best to find out if you have the flu so that you can be treated and checked on to see what's going on.
Right.
So those are two different types of ways, and it can be something that's real important. Now, your doctor might take a look at you and say, yeah, you got the flu. Mm-hmm. And I might not feel that you really need to have that test done. So that's something. But especially if you have any of those types of stress, extra stressors, mm-hmm. if your child's, younger, definitely it's great to check that out, because then you need to take certain precautions, make sure everything's okay. If you have any type of compromised immune system, if you're obese, if you're a caregiver or anything like that, then I highly, highly recommend that you get that tested just to make sure that that's treated properly. Mm-hmm. Or if you just want to sit there and know for sure that you have the flu, then you can say, yeah, I really want the test.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Right, because there's a difference, and you talked about that in segment one, between the flu and the cold and a cold.
Yes, the cold is much less of a risk. Mm-hmm. Flu it hits much, much harder and can lead to complications at a much greater rate than colds can.
So, should people get vaccinated? The flu vaccine. Some people are getting the vaccine. Some
sure.
people choose not to.
Right. And one of the things is we support people both ways. I do believe that that's a personal type of choice. Mm-hmm. There are people who are at greater risk, then that should be something that they should really more consider. Mm-hmm. People ask, is the flu vaccine effective? And yes, there is a difference in the number of people who get the flu with the vaccination. Can it cause, other problems? Yes, but that is something that people need to kind of weigh, mm-hmm. Look at that and see in which direction that they go. We don't give the flu vaccination here in our office. We are a structure function office. As opposed to a disease care office. If you do choose not to get the flu vaccine, then I would certainly, one of the things I would caution you on is that keeping your immune system up is going to be important, mm-hmm. and going to a structure function doctor would be something that I would highly recommend. Mm-hmm. In other words, check and see what your immune system is. Do some diagnostics. See what your white blood cell count. Do you have a good functioning immune system? Do you have any problems that should be addressed? During this season, you should be doing preventative types of things. Mm-hmm. And you can do preventative both through the structure function means or through the disease care. Through the disease care model, the flu vaccine is absolutely the very best preventable treatment for the flu.
Mm-hmm. In the disease care model.
In the disease care model, if that's going to be your main model of care, I would highly recommend that you get the flu shot. Mm-hmm. If you are going for structure function, you can talk to your doctor on that. There are times where I would actually recommend flu shot, because of immune compromise, things going on in the system. But if you have checked out that you have a pretty good immune system, would like to try that, we have many ways of helping prevent that flu also.
Yeah, and now is the time.
And now is the time to really look at that. Mm-hmm. And my smart patients are already starting to take things to prevent the flu. Mm-hmm. I can think of several patients who come in and get their things that they need every year for the flu.
Right.
They kind of stock up on it, start taking it. I can think of one gal. She got the flu every single year. And she was down for 2 weeks, just kind of like a guaranteed type of thing. And she was doing doing the vaccinations. Mm-hmm. She would be down for 2 weeks. It was just right after the vaccination that she was down. So, it just wasn't really working for her, so she wanted to really find something different. So we put her on a program on that, and ever since then, and it's been like 12 years, she's never gotten the flu since.
Wow.
So for her, that really worked out. It was a much better type of a route.
For her?
For her, yes.
So how effective are vaccinations for the flu?
What they find is that in their studies is that it really cuts down quite significantly on the number of people who get the flu. Mm-hmm. It's something like 15 million people less. Mm-hmm. That would normally get it. There are less complications and less deaths that are associated with getting the flu vaccination than if the population didn't. So for the statistics that they find that the flu vaccine is, for those who are following the disease care model, extremely effective.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about the disease care model here.
Disease care model, yes.
And so which vaccines are recommended?
The vaccines, it varies from year to year. Now, one of the interesting things is last year, there are years that the vaccines don't work.
Because they have to kind of, they're not guessing, kind of, which flu strand.
Yes.
Right?
There are problems with
they hit or miss
the vaccinations. What they do is the World Health Organization, they all get together and they look at the statistics on what happened in the Southern Hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
And then they figure that that's what's going to happen in the Northern Hemisphere when that comes around, and then vice versa. So they're constantly looking at that, and they see how many different types of flus kind of hit. And, there can be anywhere from 12 to 20. So they pick out the top ones. And they have a quadrivalent and a trivalent form of vaccinations. So they have one that has four different vaccinations in it, mm-hmm. two type A, and then two type B. And the trivalent, they have two type A and one type B. And so they hit those, and then they kind of see what's showing up. Now, last year, about November, they sit there and said, oh, we didn't get it at all.
Hmm.
So
that's 2016.
2016, it was kind of a waste. It was a waste of vaccination.
Wow.
So didn't hit it at all. This year, from the initial statistics, they do feel like they've got it pretty well for the majority. Mm-hmm. It's not 100% on that because there are some that are floating around that they found in the Northern Hemisphere that aren't, you know. Mm-hmm. So you could get the flu and the vaccination didn't do anything for you.
Right.
What's nice about the structure function model is it works on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going after just building up your own immune system, it works on all the flus.
Oh, interesting. And we're going to talk about that more when we come back, talking about nothing to sneeze at, flu season.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
And I realize that's the only time as an adult that I feel like a little kid, is when I go to the doctor. You didn't do what I told you, did you? No, I didn't. What should you have done? I should have listened when you were talking to me. What are you going to do from now on? Pay attention when you say things. When are you going to start? I'm going to start right now. Immediately.
Have you ever been curious about how acupuncture can benefit your health? The Prather Practice has received the NDA List Award for Best in Acupuncture for 2 years in a row. Dr. Robert Prather is a board-certified licensed acupuncturist. He's earned a reputation for combining effective acupuncture-based techniques with cutting-edge technology to help patients with many conditions. Acupuncture is documented and proven to help with many health issues, including pain, allergies, addiction control, anxiety, fatigue, vision problems, infertility, and so much more. Through October 31st, new clients at the Prather practice will receive 3 acupuncture sessions for just $99, normally a $210 value. We even have needle-free options for those who are a bit squeamish around needles. Call the Prather practice to schedule your appointment and experience the benefits of acupuncture for yourself. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The Prather practice, restoring hope. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
Nothing to sneeze at. Flu season. Will you always, if you have the flu, will you always sneeze?
No, not always. You know, okay. Some people get the flu and don't even get a fever. Mm-hmm. You know, they just get some of the, like, a cold symptoms, so it can be mild to real active. And what determines how you react to the flu is what strain of flu you got, how much of the virus did you get, and then how strong you are. You know, the stronger you are, the less symptoms you have.
So in segment two, let's talk about, can you elaborate on which vaccines to get?
And that's really important. The inactivated quadrivalent and trivalent at this point is showing up pretty effective. The main one that's showing up along those lines is the Hong Kong at H3N2, and they seem to have nailed that. That seems to be the most common one at this point.
That's that H3N2.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the H1N1, they seem to have hit that pretty well. So they seem to have the inactivated quadrivalent, trivalent, seems to be a good one, but the live attenuated doesn't work at all. And the flu mist doesn't recommend at all. So, you know,
if... Not recommended.
Well, no, I mean, it doesn't work.
Okay.
So the Center of Disease Control, World Health Organization, because people are offering that.
Yeah.
And they say, don't bother.
Okay.
It's going to do you absolutely no good. You're wasting your time and taking a risk with it that isn't really worth it. So the if you're going to get the flu shot, you need to get the inactivated quadrivalent or trivalent. Do not get the flu mist or do not get the live attenuated
and this
vaccinations.
Is with the World Health Organization. And
that's the CDC, yeah. World Health Organization. They've all said those don't work.
Okay, interesting. Are there risks to getting the flu vaccine?
Yes. That is something that is very well established. I've had many patients who've had some rather severe neurological problems and different types of issues. You can have a reaction and die. And those things need to be known, you know, before you actually go in there and get it. You know, what types of risk, how sensitive are you on that, and that there are risks that can be there. Matter of fact, they have something called the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And if you do have a reaction to the flu shot, you need to let your physician know right away. So that measures can be taken to work along those lines. And the earlier that things can be addressed, the better. So it's the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, and all physicians, if you do report that, have to report that to that group. And so that's something to be aware of. You know, you can. I've had a couple of gentlemen who got the vaccination, and in the arm that they got the it stopped working. I mean, they came in for work along those lines. We needed to rehab and to do some detoxification. Chiropractic adjustments are extremely excellent.
You mean the function of their arm?
Yes. There was a huge amount of, you can get Guillain-Barré. I've had a patient came in a wheelchair from Guillain-Barré. So, you know, there are risks that are associated with any type of disease care model. And those risks need to be weighed against the benefits that can occur. So though that they are rare, there is a vaccination fund that the government set up to compensate people who have been injured through vaccinations. But unfortunately, you cannot get compensation at this point because the fund is empty.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the money has already been paid out, so don't expect to be compensated along those lines at this point.
Mm-hmm. But still need to report it.
You should definitely report it. And the people who make the vaccinations are no longer liable. In other words, they've been given you can't sue to get compensation or recover some of the injuries because that is not allowed. We've passed a law that otherwise they wouldn't make it. The risk would be too high.
Right.
So okay. As you're considering that type of thing, that's one of the great things about the structure function care is there isn't any risk.
Mm-hmm. Do people ask you if you get the flu vaccine?
People ask me all the time if I get the flu vaccine.
And what do you say?
No, I do not. Mm-hmm. In my 35 years of practicing here in this office, I have missed 2 days of work mm-hmm. From being
ill. I think one was the funeral. A funeral.
Right. One, I had food poisoning.
Yeah. So out of 35 years, you missed two
right,
days of
I've, work. I've never come down with any type of illness that, you know, even mm-hmm. measures on a fever.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just a matter of keeping up on my health care and taking responsibility along those lines.
Right, right. Good. Well, let's talk about prevention. That's what we're all about, structural
yes.
function medicine. Can someone prevent the flu and how?
Yes. There are many different types of ways. Of course, you know, just the normal types of things. You know, getting enough sleep.
Right.
Keeps your immune system.
In fact, you and I, and those of you that don't know, the listeners out there, we're married.
Ooh, I like that.
In case you forgot, no. 26
yeah.
years.
Never.
But we were getting to bed a little too late, and it was affecting us. It affects the cortisol levels and
sure. Weakens the immune system.
Focus, mental focus. And mm-hmm. So we've been really working on getting it into bed by 10, mm-hmm. Making a, you know, and now that it's getting darker earlier, it's a little
easier.
And it's really made a difference.
Yes.
Really been helpful.
Very, very helpful.
So rest is very important. People are burning the candle at both ends.
Yes.
And you can't get back sleep.
No.
Right?
No, there's a deficit that remains for a long time if you don't get enough sleep.
Well, and I read something. You can go so many days without food, but less days without sleep.
Correct.
That can kill you.
It can.
And less
yeah.
time than going without food.
You can. It changes the mental function. It's just not something that should be done. So making sure you get enough sleep. Mm-hmm. Diet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we're coming up on Halloween. You know, and especially
that
starting...
That everybody's immune system.
Oh, yeah. It's very hard. You know, your kids are going out getting a whole bunch of candy. Mm-hmm. You stock up on it. And now flu season's hitting right at the same time.
Or the moms, you know. I couldn't have the candy in the house. Remember what I used to do with the kids? I would give them a quarter for every piece.
Right.
And then give it to some organization, the candy.
And then rationing mm-hmm. how much candy. You know, so, you know, checking on that, making sure that your diet is excellent, getting your fruits and vegetables, mm-hmm. Making sure that that's all good.
Well, we just bought a fryer and, mm-hmm. You know, at least every couple weeks we're having chicken soup.
Right.
With leeks and onions right.
And chicken
carrots.
Soup, believe it or not, really is an excellent medicine.
Well, that's before I knew about structure function medicine growing up. That's what my dad would make
that
through
was
the
practicing,
winter.
That was practicing structure function care. I mean, you know, when we talk about supplements and things along that, it's just concentrated food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're talking about functional care and the supplementation, it's things that we put into capsule that we know you wouldn't eat otherwise.
Yeah, concentrated food.
It's concentrated foods. You know, it's plants. It's different types of organs that can be concentrated.
I am not going to eat organs. Yes,
you're not going to eat thymus. That's one of the things that if you take capsules of thymus, it improves the lymph system, improves the lymphocytes count. We see definite changes on the blood work, you know, as you take that. Mm-hmm. So it's a concentrated food that you take to boost the immune system. One of the things that's, if you're also talking about herbals, one of the most famous herbals is Lomatium dissecutum. Okay? Mm-hmm. Want me to say that again?
Yes.
Okay, Lomatium dissecutum is a herb that is used for the flu. It was discovered with the Native American Indians. And extremely effective for fighting the flu. We do have that in a combination. If you're talking about something like echinacea helps with the lymphatic flow. So it doesn't directly boost the immune system, but it helps with the lymphatic flow, which helps if the lymph system's flowing well, then you have less likely to get secondary infections.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
One of the things that we sell is monolaurin and something called vericidin. Remember how I talked about the cell wall?
Right.
If you have a really strong cell wall, the viruses need more power to be able to punch through. And good, strong cell walls will resist the virus. Mm-hmm. So monolaurin is one of the key ingredients to a cell wall, so you can take that. Matter of fact, the patient that helped them with their chronic flu situation is that was one of the main things that really made a big difference in her getting the flu. She just swears, she tells everybody to go out there and buy that because it really cut down on her flu. So you can even have the flu. And if you take some, the monolaurin, some Lomatium dissecutum, some echinacea, a little bit of thymus, you're going to see that flu symptoms go down pretty quickly.
Right. It's important to get checked.
Yeah.
And not just go to a health food store and...
Right. Now, one of the things that's good to know is cholesterol-lowering medication. One of the main things that makes up the cell wall is cholesterol. So if you're taking a statin along those lines, you're usually reducing the strength of your cell walls, so you are more susceptible to getting the flu than the average person.
So if you're on a statin.
One of the things you might really consider, one, if you're on the disease care model, you should more likely probably to get the flu shot. But if you are wanting to go or combination, you can do both.
Right.
If you want to, one of the things I would highly recommend is take some monolaurin. Because that strengthens up the cell wall and kind of negates some of the problems of taking cholesterol-lowering medication.
So you say, take that, flu. I'm building my wall, my
and literally,
fortress.
When we're talking about treating the flu or preventing the flu, we are talking about 400 different products that we have listed that can help with that.
All right. We come back. Let's talk more about prevention. We're going to talk about... homeopathics.
Very big one
there. So we'll be back with flu season.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, there is a device you use at your office called the Electrodermal Screening, or EDS. Tell us a little bit about it and why you call it the lie detector for the body.
Well, the Electrodermal Screening Unit is a galvanic skin response unit, and it actually falls under the same category as a lie detector test or biofeedback. So it is actually, we can actually rig our electrodermal screening to actually do lie detector. But it is also a good term on that is a lie detector for the body. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're actually, you know a whole list of different types of products that could possibly work in each type of situation. But everybody knows that not everybody responds well to penicillin. Mm-hmm. You know, some people actually have some very negative reactions to it, to death. Some people, it's a lifesaver. Well, that's true of everything. And what the electrodermal screening does is it actually gives you a predetermination on how you're actually going to respond to any type of thing that we might prescribe to you before you actually take it, which is extremely helpful. Now, it's not a diagnostic tool. You know, it is not classified as a diagnostic tool. But as we've gotten the approval from the federal government on the use of it, we use it purely as a means of checking to see the body's response before you would actually take something.
Okay.
So it's a response machine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to have knowledge beforehand on what products will actually work with each type of condition.
Right.
So we're very dependent upon our lab tests and the gold standard types of diagnostic tests. But then, once you've determined that, what do you do with that? Because... Mm-hmm. In our instrument, we have actually 80,000 different products that we can check on.
Wow.
So with that, we can actually find out what's going to work the best for you and how you're going to respond on things before you actually take them.
And what about its effectiveness?
Through clinical studies, they have found that it's 80% accurate, over 80% accurate, which, you know, was what actually attracted me to it, because there's not too many things that you can actually have that kind of results with.
Right. And this electrodermal screening eliminates some of the guessing.
The guesswork is the biggest thing that we're trying to get rid of.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
We're talking today about the flu season, nothing to sneeze about. Dr. Prather, we're talking about preventative measures, you know, what structure function medicine's all about and how important that is. You talked about some natural products, you know, to boost the body's defenses, some supplements you talked about. Anything there before we go on to homeopathics?
Well, you know, there's several different ways to kind of approach that. There's many different types of herbs. For virals, I can think of about 200 herbals that have been
200,
shown.
Wow.
200 herbals that can, just off the top of my head, I can think of that can help out with viral prevention and treatment.
Mm-hmm.
If you're talking about vitamins and, you know, vitamin D, vitamin C, the B vitamins. You know, there's a whole list along those lines that make such a big difference. Minerals, zinc is absolutely critical. One of the things we look at improving the system. Fatty acids, the integrity of the cell wall. All of those play a very big role. And you can actually test on those, you know, to see which ones are deficient. You know, those are blood tests.
Yeah, we do that, yeah, here in our office.
So it's not whether you, in other words, we're not guessing. We can actually know.
Mm-hmm.
What your deficiency is, and then getting those things balanced out makes it much, much better. Homeopathy, that's where you can really make some amazing changes.
Yeah, you're getting excited.
I get excited about homeopathy.
Well, how can homeopathy help with and be effective with the flu or prevention?
Well, when you're talking about homeopathy and the flu, the biggest thing that showed up was in the 1918, the Spanish flu. The Spanish flu during 1918, what the most accurate estimates that I have found is that it killed 10% of the population across the world.
Mm-hmm. The Spanish
flu. So the Spanish flu did. So it almost crashed civilization if it had kept on going. So huge type of thing. The medical offices had a 90% death rate. The homeopathic hospitals only had a 10% death rate.
Mm-hmm.
They have had flu epidemics, going on. The last flu epidemic was 2009, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
It's considered a flu epidemic.
It was considered a flu epidemic. And then when you're talking about a pandemic, that was 1918. And usually it's considered every 100 years you have a pandemic.
And the last one was?
1918.
Okay. Okay, so that's almost 100 years. I'm doing my math.
Yeah, aren't you good? And then you have pandemics, which happen about every 30 years. Mm-hmm. So we've the last epidemic was 2009. So that was a serious flu that went around. But, you know, when you have something like that, you know, the vaccinations aren't going to work because it's a new strain. So every 100 years you get that. They've looked back in history. It's been a consistent type of thing. Going natural is one of the best things. And the homeopathy is always effective. So what they did is they came up with a formula for the homeopathics and found that that one worked the best for the flu. Still works excellent for the flu, where they've had different types of studies on it. Mm-hmm. Works great. We have something called Flubigon.
That's a homeopathic.
A homeopathic, and that is something that we sell here. And our patients, one, we have patients who come and buy that as a preventative, along with the monolaurin and some of the other things, to take that while they're going through the flu season to prevent the flu. But also, when you have the flu, it's quite dramatic on stopping the symptoms. Mm-hmm. It's really, really excellent. So we do have that homeopathic formula as well as some other homeopathics that we can make up that are excellent for the flu, and something that if people are having issues, homeopathy is one of the things that can be extremely, extremely helpful.
Mm-hmm. I love homeopathy.
Yes.
So let's talk about what else can be done to prevent the flu.
You know, washing the hands, that's a very big thing. That's one of the things they talk about, is just be considerate. You know, don't sneeze. Make sure that you cover up if you sneeze or cough, because you're spreading the flu around.
Yeah, kind of in that elbow crux of it.
Yeah, that elbow type of thing. Watch what you have contact with. You know, don't slide your hand down the handrail. Mm-hmm. And then touch your eyes. Washing the hands on a regular basis, and just being careful on what you're doing. If you're taking care of somebody with the flu, being a caregiver, don't get right in their face. You know, make sure that they kind of cover up if they cough or sneeze. Kind of be over to the side.
Mm-hmm.
So
at times,
really,
it's okay to wear a mask.
And then the masks are very effective. You know, and that's one thing that over in Asia, because they have, that's considered polite. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have an infection, you should be wearing a mask so that you don't spread that.
So if I should suspect I have the flu, what should I do?
If you suspect that you have the flu, I would go into your doctor. Make sure that you get a test along those lines. It's very helpful if they can kind of follow that. You should rest. You shouldn't be out in contact with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You need to be courteous and not go to work and or go to school, because you can kind of wipe out the
whole
group.
All the kids are saying, yeah.
Right. So if you suspect that you have the flu, go to your doctor and take the precautions that you need, and take real good care of yourself. Get lots of sleep, a lot of fluids, and eat the best you possibly can.
Stay away from that refined sugar.
Oh, that just drops the immune system like crazy.
So how bad is the flu season expected to be this year?
It's supposed to be a normal flu season. So we're not expecting any pandemics, epidemics, anything like that. So the virulence doesn't seem too bad at this year. So everything's looking pretty good. The flu that seems to be the most common at this point is the Hong Kong flu. That can be, but it's not a real bad strain.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't seem to be a real crisis at this time.
What about the avian flu? Is that still a risk? You hear about that?
Yes, everybody sits there and talks about the avian flu. And the interesting thing about the avian flu is all flu came from birds. So all flu is avian.
Mm-hmm.
And
all flu came from birds.
All flu came from birds.
Hmm.
So one having a transfer from a bird to us usually goes through an intermediary pig, something like that, and then it gets over to humans. That is a real possibility, and that's something that the CDC is constant in the World Health Organization. And that does happen on a regular basis, but luckily they do a very good job at isolating that and keeping that from going on. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they do a good enough job that they prevent a pandemic. Epidemics are unavoidable. Pandemics are avoidable. So hopefully we can avoid another situation like the 1918, so we need to keep up our funding for the CDC and the World Health Organization, because
mm-hmm.
we don't want people dying.
Right. Dr. Prather, we have about a half a minute. I just want to make sure you share on the flu. Anything, last words you want to share?
Yes. Taking your health seriously is a very important type of thing. And as a person, you first need to decide, how is it that you're going to handle that? Are you going to handle that through structure function, keeping your immune system up? You should go see a structure function doctor. If you are in the disease care model, then you should get a flu vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It doesn't necessarily hurt that you can't combine the two. But I would take it seriously, and not doing anything is not a good idea.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather, as always.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
All right. Nothing to sneeze at. Flu season. Thank you.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Have you ever been curious about how acupuncture can benefit your health? The Prather Practice has received the NDA List Award for Best in Acupuncture for 2 years in a row. Dr. Robert Prather is a board-certified licensed acupuncturist. He's earned a reputation for combining effective acupuncture-based techniques with cutting-edge technology to help patients with many conditions. Acupuncture is documented and proven to help with many health issues, including pain, allergies, addiction control, anxiety, fatigue, vision problems, infertility, and so much more. Through October 31st, new clients at the Prather Practice will receive 3 acupuncture sessions for just $99, normally a $210 value. We even have needle-free options for those who are a bit squeamish around needles. Call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment and experience the benefits of acupuncture for yourself. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.